Hello and welcome to another episode of Be Kind, Be Positive, Be Yourself. Today's episode 153. Today's a special episode. We have a guest, my new friend Magnus. He's from Leeds, United Kingdom. It's about 4,000 plus miles away from the United States where I'm at in Des Moines, Iowa. The internet is a beautiful thing, my friends. Today, we are going to talk about self-compassion and self-love, something that we are bonded over, and something the reason I found Magnus and the reason we found this new friendship. So take a listen. I hope you enjoy. I hope you go and follow Magnus. He is a beautiful, pure person, and he's well worth the follow. I hope you enjoy. Take care of yourself. Talk to you soon.
It's exciting when you know this well, when you meet someone that's in person, no matter how you meet them, their energy is just, you can tell people's energy very well. And yeah. When you meet someone that your energy kind of lines up very similarly, it's inspiring. I'm trying to expand beyond inspiring, but it's just, I mean, that's how I feel. So.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw your profile, when you messaged me and I looked at what you're doing, I'm not going to lie. I danced. I honestly, for a few reasons. One, because what you're doing and the real life effects of your work, you know, talking to Don, talking to Alex, it was just inspiring to read your conversations with them. And it was also inspiring the way you went about it, because with my interactions, they're slightly different to yours. They're more yours. Your conversation sounds like they last about 5 to 10 minutes. You know, the you're getting to know that person, and I found it very a heartwarming approach, because my interactions are quite short, whereas yours are quite, you know, they're longer. So, and yeah, and likewise, I feel like when I was messaging you and I looked at your profile, I could just tell that, and listened to your Spotify as well, I could just tell that you were a really good person who has a lot of empathy. And I like to see myself as quite an empathetic person. So it's nice to see a brother across the pond, you know, doing good work, you know?
Likewise, man. I guess to provide people that will either watch this or listen to this with a little bit of background, it's an interesting thing, because people might watch this, or if they're just listening, I do want to provide like, who the heck is talking right now? So yeah. I'm with Magnus Davies, and it's Magnus Davies on TikTok and YouTube, right?
Yeah, and Instagram.
And Instagram. So like you said, we clearly were very far apart. We're about 4,000 miles apart.
And I thought it was more than that.
And so I was talking with my dad, because it's funny enough that you said you did a little dance, because originally, for people to give people a full background to how we got here, I saw you on TikTok, as you do, you scroll. And I saw one of your first videos. It was when you just went up to people on the street and asked them what they love about themselves. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I love this idea. And I had a little spark. I was like, could I try that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. So I went to your page. I looked at a lot of more of your videos, and I couldn't shake that feeling for like the next couple of weeks of like, man, I really, really want to try this. And I moved out here to a bigger city, and I was walking around one day and I was like, it just popped in. You know how those things just pop in, the things that you really want to do, they somehow always work their way back. And it's kind of just like fate or whatever you want to say. I tried it. I went up to some people. And like you had mentioned, Alex and Don were the people that day that I talked to. And I walked away feeling so just filled with hope, especially when you're talking to strangers. You probably know this the feeling of talking to someone that you just met in that moment, and the shared humanity of smiling, laughing, you know, sharing a little bit, even if it was two blocks that I walked with Alex to a Walgreens, and it left me, it feels like it just change the trajectory or how my life is going to go, and a little bit of a nudge. And so we've talked before this about, you know, and you talk a lot about the butterfly effect, and I was trying to think about where to start with this conversation. And I think it's important because I was obviously inspired by you and your videos. And you obviously didn't know before this conversation, before we met, that I was even existing. You were just putting out good content and things that you really believe in. I was wondering, did you draw inspiration from anything or anyone about your videos, or how did you kind of get into your videos and kind of what you believe in and where you're at now?
So before I answer that question, I just want to say thank you for messaging me, because the timing of your message was impeccable. And I always say the universe has impeccable timing, and it always happens at the right time. And usually it happens in the right time when you're looking at it from hindsight, but in the moment it felt like completely the right time, because if I'm being honest here, I went to London and I tried to do some more interviews, but I was having a really off day and it felt very forced, and that my mind wasn't in the right place. I wasn't feeling confident in myself, so I didn't do the interviews that day. And then I was due to do the interviews the week that you messaged me, and when I saw that message, I was about to go out and do some more interviews I was going to do them, but I was still having that. I had that nervousness. I had that anxiousness. When I saw that message, I thought, I was so inspired by you, which is very ironic, because you were inspired by me initially, but you inspired me to go, no, we're going to go out today and we're going to get some amazing interviews, we're going to inspire more people, we're going to spread positivity, just from reading the exchanges you had. Because it's like, this is why I'm doing it. And sometimes you can get lost, you can lose touch with that, and you start making it about yourself. And I was like, no, it's not about me, it's about the exchanges, it's about, you know, how that person leaves the interview feeling. And so I just want to say thank you for the message, and thank you for doing what you do, because I would have gone on and done the interviews probably, most likely, but you gave me that energy that day just to go out and really, you know, commit to it and inspire other people. So thank you for that.
It's crazy because, like, well, my appreciation is right back. I feel like it's a very mutual gratitude, and that's a really beautiful thing when it happens like this and genuinely, naturally. Crazy enough, just another level of fate or the universe working in its way. I went to message you on TikTok because that's kind of like where I first saw your videos and everything. And I typed up this message like, hey, Magnus, like, you inspired me to do this. And I was going to share the link to my Instagram post because it was the day that I went out and talked to people. And on TikTok, you know, you can't message people that don't follow you. So TikTok was like, sorry, pal, you can't do that. So I was like, kind of bummed out. And I was like, let me just search. And then I went on your Instagram, and then I sent it on Instagram. So it was just like, and you talked about, I wanted to circle back. You talked about doing a happy dance. I woke up the morning, I'm trying to think of the timing, but I woke up on the morning after I'd messaged you, and I saw that you messaged me, and I got giddy as well. I had a smile, and I have a family group chat with my family and my sister, my mom and dad. I said, you'll never believe this. I'm talking to this guy from over in the UK. And, you know, I was just like super happy. And so it's just a really beautiful thing when energy lines up, especially people that are trying to do the same thing, and just genuine energy. So this is just incredible.
It is incredible. And I'm glad to be here. Very grateful. Thank you, man. I'm very, very inspired right now. But we'll get back to the question that you asked me, what inspired me to do the interviews in the first place. So initially it was having conversations with friends and family as well. And I realized that we didn't really talk much about what we like about ourselves very much. We're very quick to criticize ourselves. We're very quick to go, oh, I'm ugly, or I'm not very confident, or whatever it is. We're very quick to doubt ourselves, but we find it quite difficult to compliment ourselves. So I kind of realized that, and I found my own mind, I had a tendency to criticize myself, and I started to think, how can I, and I was giving advice on TikTok, you know, where I was filming and talking about anxiety, talking about boosting confidence. And I thought, there's one thing talking to someone, you know, for a screen, how can I make it a bit more real? How can I interact with people on a personal level. And I started to think, wow, okay, we could be doing some public interviews. And then I met another creator who already did some interviews. Like, he did interviews. He does these cards where he gives people a message. It's like a positive message, you know, a life lesson, or just to give people a boost. And then he gets their reactions on TikTok. So I met up with him and I saw how he worked, and I ended up doing some interviews that day as well. And then I asked questions like, what makes you happy? What are you grateful for? And then I asked my followers, have you guys got any ideas for questions? And someone messaged me and said, what do you love about yourself? So I actually got the idea from someone else, but I was already, it's like the universe again, having perfect timing. I was already thinking about how can people talk about positive things? How can they celebrate themselves more and their lives? And that when I saw that, I thought that's the best question that I could answer. And I owe it to my friend Tom. He's called Tom Harper. He actually gave me the question. So that's where I got it from.
It's amazing just how I feel like some personally for me, and I can feel like you, just from what you've said, it's maybe similar for you as well, Magnus. Like, some of the best ideas I've ever had, some of the best, you know, projects, if you could say, even the podcast, have just been off other people's energy, life experiences, amazing timing. And I think that what we're trying to, you know, you talk about more things than just self-love and self-compassion, if you will. Mm. And I do too on my podcast, but we share that as a very, that's why we're here. And that's what we're bonded by, I think, you know, mostly. Yeah. not completely, but I wanted to pick your brain about why is self-compassion, self-love, there's a lot of ways you can say it. Yeah. Why is viewing ourselves more positively? What do you feel like is the biggest, why should we care? Why should people care about it? Why, about that question, what do you love about yourself? Why should we keep doing this?
Because I think the short answer is, where your focus lies, your energy lies. So if you focus on the negative things in your life, then that's going to produce negative energy. And if you focus on the positives, that will multiply. So it's where basically your energy is multiplied where your focus is. So I think it's important that we focus, because I think we're very good at problem solving. Mm. You know, we're constantly thinking, how can I be better? How can I be better? And with that, you can slip into kind of never even recognizing or giving yourself any credit, because people are constantly trying to improve or, you know, be the finished product. But I think something as a society we struggle to do is just to recognize, I'm great at this, I'm really good at this. Because when you recognize that, that builds your confidence and your self-esteem. And when that builds, then you're more likely to take more action. And I had someone come on the live the other day, and she's got a girl called Amanda. She said she hadn't left a house in 4 years. And she said after the live, listening to the live I did the other day, she went outside for the first time. I mean, I found that, like, I couldn't comprehend that, to be honest. Yeah. At the time. And just because she started to focus and change her focus from all the things that could go wrong to all the things that could go right and the opportunities of going outside, that changed her life. Just that one action. So I just think just the effect self-love and self-compassion can have on yourself and the world is just, it's, I mean, it shows in our bonding here, the fact that we've met, it just shows how unlimited the opportunities are when you do that.
I completely agree. And I like how you said, well, what I'm getting is like, and it's taken me a really long time. I think you might feel very similar to this. When you're empathetic by nature and you really care about other people's feelings, it's kind of a slippery slope. I think you've talked about this before when I was in your last Instagram live. Being empathetic and being an empathetic person is really great. But sometimes, I know personally for myself, I put my own needs and my feelings and self-compassion to myself kind of get the side, second priority, second tier priority. And I think a lot of people feel that way. But honestly, in the story that you're talking about with Amanda, right? With her going outside for the first time in a long time. I think one thing that I'm learning and that I've noticed is by being compassionate to ourselves. And my friend once told me that, and it's, you know, it's a kind of a well-known idea, but you can't pour from an empty cup. So if you need to, you need to take care of your cup to give other people the water, you know, for their cup. And it actually, ironically, when we take care of ourselves, I feel like most of the time we actually positively impact other people,
yeah,
which we're already trying to do. And I really wanted to ask you about, because I know in the United States, a lot of the cultural norm is that if we talk about ourselves, what we're good at. Now, I will leave with this. There are things and there's ways that if we talk about ourselves all the time, you know, then it does get to an arrogant level. Yeah. But just to say like, you know what? No, I'm good at that. I'm proud of myself, or I deserve this. In the United States, not for everyone, and obviously, but it's a big social norm that we don't really try to talk about ourselves a lot, because we have to be, you know, we need to talk about other people. Or if we do talk about ourselves, like you've already mentioned, it's usually the criticisms. I need to get better at this. I'm not very good at that. I'll never be a good artist. We box ourselves in. So I was just wondering, is it similar like that in the UK? What do you notice? Like, what are some trends that you're maybe noticing?
100%. It's exactly the same in the UK as you're describing in America. I think there's this culture in the UK of this stiff upper lip. You kind of look after your own stuff and you put your head down and you just get on with things. You know, you don't open up. That's what a man is. And I think a lot of people conflate arrogance and self-compassion. You know, they think that if you say, I deserve this, I am great, I am worthy of this, then that's an arrogant thing to say. But it's all about the context. It's all about the measure as well. Everything in life is a balance. But I don't think the balance is, it's not balanced at the moment. So if everything we say is I'm amazing, I'm great, all this, then then that would completely change the conversation. But the reality isn't like that.
I agree. I love how you said it's about context and balance. And ironically, it's like, you know, we're all trying to balance. We don't want to be seen as arrogant, yet we're actually, for a lot of us, the scale, like you said, is so tipped in a negative light of ourselves and trying to shine it on other people that if we could just get it a little bit back.
Yeah.
Because even like the other day, you know, when I moved to this new city, and it's been a really tough couple of years for me, just moving and a tough breakup and such. But my mom has been a big help. My parents both, but my mom is really good at making sure that I remember what I deserve. And even a tough, you know, even for me to say, I deserve this, like I'm proud of myself. I actually really deserve this. It's just, it makes me feel really uncomfortable. And it's a very interesting thing. It's so much easier for me, and you might feel like this. I love shining other light, you know, on people and making sure they know their worth and their potential. It's so easy for me, but just look in the mirror and be like, you deserve this. Here's your potential. It gets very uncomfortable. And I was wondering, it kind of leads nicely into another thought that wanted to talk to you about was, do you ever feel like you put an added pressure on yourself? How do I want to word this? When you're trying to promote self-compassion, and then when you have a tough day or tough stretches where you're like, I'm really hard on myself, how do you navigate that? How do you redirect your energy to take care of yourself when you're trying to promote that for other people, if that makes sense?
100%. I think that's an amazing question. I can tell you're a very apt podcaster. You can tell you've done this a lot. You're very eloquent. I'd say to that sometimes when you put yourself in the public eye and you put yourself almost on, not a pedestal, but you put yourself out there, you identify with what the content you're producing. So because I ask people questions like, what do you like about yourself? It's almost like it does create this kind of pressure to be.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Always compassionate to myself as well. And there have been times where I thought to myself, well, I'm beating myself up now and I'm preaching this, you know. But I think recently I've really not struggled with that, because I've had the mindset that I'm not perfect, and that it's okay if I have a day where I beat myself up. It's okay if I do negative self-talk. That's part of being a human. Like, we're not going to always get the balance right. And I have taken that pressure off myself to be this, you know, finished product, or be this person who never slips up and has negative self-talk. So I think I dealt with that a bit, but I think now I'm really aware that I'm a human being, and that I'm not perfect, and that it's okay to have, you know, negative self-talk sometimes.
I love that. And I love that once you get that invisible weight off your shoulders about the pressure, once you realize, like you said, that you're just a human, and no, even if you're trying to promote something, especially within the mental health realm and the self-compassion, I always found it, like you said, a much more authentic and genuine and way more manageable approach to say, you can take advice from me about self-compassion. I'm not an expert.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have bad days too. And that's going to be part of the journey. We're going to paint. And I have a mug actually, that says progress over perfection. And yes. It's just something that I think we can all live by. I think I know for a fact, I get so caught up in trying to be perfect with the stuff that I'm trying to promote. And I learned a couple of years ago through the podcast, and just felt more genuine and more helpful to other people, to myself, to say, I'm going to tell you the parts that are really overwhelming and scary. And I think that it just adds to, people want to hear that too. They want to hear, if you're willing to share your vulnerability and say, guess what, last week was really, really hard, and, you know, kind of pull the curtain back even more. You don't have to tell everything. And I think that's been important for me, and maybe the same for you. I don't tell everything, because it's some things I want to keep. Some struggles are just my own, and I just want to keep those to myself, especially when you're giving so much to the public realm of social media and like a podcast or TikTok or YouTube video. Mm. One thing, I think mental health is a very, we all have it, and I think we talk about it sometimes, especially, I know the US, we're getting a lot better, but we talk about it. It's been very taboo, obviously, for a really long time. And we try not to talk about it, even though we all have it. It's just like physical health. We just have to, it's something you practice and something you have to take care of. That's why it's part of the health, you know, realm, if you will. And yeah. I wanted to talk to you, because I haven't really talked about this specifically, but what is something that you think is if someone's listening to this or watching and they're saying, you know, that's awesome, I love the energy, I love what y'all are talking about, but how do I start? Because yeah. I think mental health is very overwhelming, even for someone that's very comfortable with it. I still feel overwhelmed. You know, I'm getting nervous to want to go out and talk to do these interviews again. And what is something that you think is one thing that's very entry level when someone's trying to think about how to be more compassionate to themselves? Where can they start? What's something kind of, I don't want to say easy, but what's the least overwhelming thing that someone can try?
Just practice saying it's okay to everything. And you can use that in everything. It's okay that I feel this emotion. It's okay that I've had this thought. It's okay that my life isn't where I want it to be. I think simply just accepting how things are, it's okay. And that it's okay to be nervous. It's okay to have anxiety. It's okay to have days where you feel depressed. I think that's the best way to accept yourself, and to accept that. I think the thing with mental health as well is that because we don't experience other people's realities, we seem to think we're alone with our struggles. We're alone with the thoughts. We're alone with the emotions. So I think it's by nature, mental health is very polarizing unless we come together and talk about these things and unite. And that's why I'm so happy to do this podcast, because, you know, hopefully someone will see this and think, you know, me and Magnus and Matthew are being open and vulnerable. And so that means I can be vulnerable. I was on a call not too long ago, like a masterclass, and the guy who was running it said, "I'm nervous. Who else is nervous?" And everyone put their hand up. Everyone's nervous. And that was such a nice moment, because it's like, it doesn't matter about hierarchies or whatever. We're all human. We all have the same feelings, you know. Just some people have them on different intensity scales. That's the difference.
It gave me the chills when you said that, just like talking about it and how you said that it is challenging because it's invisible. Yeah. In a lot of ways, mental health, and we can't see the realities of other people. So that's where it gets, that is the power. And I've said this for so long. That's the power of sharing where you're comfortable. We all share in different ways. I know tons of family members and friends that, you know, it's just not in their comfort zone to be as vulnerable and open. We all show our vulnerabilities and comfort in different ways. And I really want to make sure that people understand that it's not going to be, you're not going to sit down for a podcast to talk about mental health. You might just start with, like you said, it's okay. And it's a two words. It's very simple in nature, but it's just saying it's okay, because then I feel like it takes the pressure off yourself to be like, you know, because we so often, I know for myself, I say, is that okay that I feel this way? Why do I feel this way? Why don't other people feel this way? But the reality is, when you're walking down the street, or you're in a class, or you're in a, you know, you're in a grocery store, people are nervous, people are depressed, people are anxious, people are worried about tomorrow. And that's the power of like opening up, you know, because physical health, you break your arm, you got a cast. People can see that. They're like, oh, wow, you know, I hope your recovery is good. What'd you do? How'd that happen? You know, oh, I went to the doctor, got a cast. Mental health is like, we walk around so much with invisible things that we're carrying. The power of talking to someone you trust, it could be one person, it could be a stranger for some people, makes it more comfortable. It gave me chills when you just how you worded that. And you said that I think that is a struggle a lot. You can't see, you know, even if you're talking to someone you trust, you can't really, they might not be telling you everything.
Exactly.
And so often that happens. I know a lot of friends that will struggle silently, and silence is the number one, you know, killer for mental health. And I think that's the power of just having low stress, low pressure conversations. And mental health is so interesting, especially when we have, because you have to talk about yourself. And if that's not a comfortable, it's a skill that you get used to and you practice. The more you do it, you get more comfortable. I just think there's so much to unpack, but
I just want to comment. That was, by the way, thank you for those insights. I think what came to mind when you said about the visibility factor with mental health, you used the example of breaking your arm. I actually broke my arm. I've got a scar here. I'm not sure you can see.
Oh, wow. That is serious.
So I broke my arm, having an arm wrestle. I was 18. I was 17 or 18, and at the time I got a lot of people kind of were really nice to me, and a lot of understanding, and people went easy on me. And then fast forward a few years later, I started struggling with my mental health, and for me, having that arm break, as painful as it was physically, and it was pain, there is an element of mental torture because it stops you from doing things, and just the pain. It didn't compare to the experience of having a mental health problem. There's no comparison. It's so much harder to deal with a mental health problem. And I've thought about this deeply, why that is, why emotional pain is more torturous than physical pain in so many ways. And for me, that's true. Emotional pain is more difficult because there was no blueprint for my mental health. There was no like manual that I could pick up and go, oh, that's what I need to do. Whereas with physical health, you go to the doctors, you go to the hospital, you get a metal plate in your arm, and then you say, oh, you need to do some physio for 6 weeks, and then you're good. But for my mental health, you go to therapy, and not everyone goes to therapy. So first of all, you've got to acknowledge there's a problem, because denial is a big thing for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Secondly, so you need to be self-aware and to know when you've even got a problem, because some people don't even realize they have a problem. And then you have to take the initiative to and the courage to go and see a specialist, if you have the resources, that is. And then even when you go to therapy, they don't hand you a ticket for mental health, you know, freedom, like a freedom from your problems. You have to do some deep digging yourself. And it's not about talking to therapists and them telling you what's wrong with you. It's about having honest conversations with yourself and opening up to a stranger and being aware of it yourself so that you can take the right steps and heal your wounds. So I think for me, the worst, I wouldn't say worst because I see it as a blessing now, but the most difficult thing was not having anyone around me who could say, this is what you've got, having to figure it out by myself and work out. And everyone's alone with it because they are only themselves can tell them what their demons are, what their triggers are, what their, you know, thoughts are.
I think that's such a beautiful new perspective and insight for me. And I know maybe for a lot of people, because I've used that analogy for a long time about a broken arm. And so to talk to someone like that actually has that experience. And when I'm listening to you, I think a big thing too, is that as far as I know, there's no stigma in breaking your arm. I've never heard someone say, are you sure your arm's broken? I don't think that you actually have a broken arm.
I got the piss taken out of me, you know, an arm wrestle, you know, but there's no like,
are you sure it's broken? Yeah, exactly. You don't have a broken arm. Just man up, toughen up. You'll be fine. And I think.
Because it's visible.
It's exactly. That's like
the thing. There's evidence.
So when you're dealing with mental health, it's all invisible. And sometimes you have to explain yourself. So now you're like, wait, do I have mental health problems? Do I really need to go to therapy? Then there's like, is therapy an option? And it's just, I think it's a really helpful perspective to keep people in mind that we do have a long way to go, but I know we're, one last thing I want to talk to you about, Magnus, is what do you think, because I want to end this on a good note, and in mental health, it's very individualistic, and overall, what do you think we get right? We as a collective, what are you inspired by? What are you hopeful by about mental health right now?
I'm very hopeful because I feel like there's a huge shift in society and attitudes. I think it's becoming more normalized to open up and talk about your mental health. I think there's more resources. There's more people who are going into the mental health field, which is an indicator that there's an increasing demand, which shows me that there's either more people who are mentally ill or more people who are being open about their mental illness. I'm not sure which one it is, but I think for sure there's more people who are just seeing it as like an MOT on their mind, you know, instead of, you know, like something's wrong with me. It's, oh, I'm just going to counseling because there's this difficulty in my relationship, or I'm just going to counseling because I have this fear. And I suppose maybe 20 years ago, it was frowned upon, you know, to go to therapy, and they would associate people who went with a severe problem, you know, like something like schizophrenia, for example. So I'm very hopeful. And as I think as well, like in the media, you see a lot more positive talk around mental health, especially in the UK. I'm not sure what it's like in the United States, but what do you think in the United States? What's your opinion on it?
It's pretty similar. I think they're pretty similar. I would agree with everything you said too. I think I'm excited for how many more conversations are happening, and people that I never thought would ever come to me about relating to the podcast about mental health and opening up and saying, hey, that helped me, or thank you. Mm-hmm. I think it's a beautiful shift. And I think a lot about like sports teams or actors, musicians, people with platforms, and even, you know, businesses, companies, you know, there's mental health talks, there's boards that have, there's mental health committees, you know, mental health is being prioritized on a company level for sports. So many athletes are coming out and talking about their mental health and, you know, just the range of, you know, addiction, suicide prevention. I think it's becoming more, not popular, but more that we know it's healthy, it's prioritized, and it starts with a conversation. And so that also really, really excites me. I saw, to wrap this up, Magnus, I saw a, I don't know if you've ever seen the show Hot Ones. It's the Sean Evans on YouTube. He eats chicken, hot, really hot chicken
wings. Oh yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
But he does this really cool thing that I think is cool at the very end. And he just says, like, what do you have going on right now? So if there's anything, do you have anything coming up, or do you, I'll put all your social links in the bio of this episode, but I just want to give you a chance. Is there anything you got coming up, or anything you want to promote for yourself? I don't know.
Yeah. So thank you for that. It's a great idea as well. What have I got coming up? I say, guys, my TikTok is Magnus Davis, and I'm producing a constant flow of interviews there, inspiring people. And I've got some new questions coming up, you know, that gets people to celebrate their, you know, their strengths, promote their confidence. And there's going to be some deep questions as well that I'm going to ask. I'm already asking some deep questions, but I want to dive deep into the way people think because when you see people's immediate reactions when they're forced to respond in the moment, you get the truth from people. There's no filter. So I'd say tune into my TikTok as well. I've got some guests. I'm collaborating with a few people as well. Someone who's just got in touch with me as well, who's quite an exciting guest. So I'm looking forward to to interview him. And yeah, tune in. I thank you for having me, Matthew. I really, you're a really great guy, and what you're doing as well with, you know, just spreading positivity in America. It's inspired me, and I'm so grateful that I've met you, because I just feel a very good energy from you.
Likewise, my friend. I feel like I'm like it's like a trampoline. I want to bounce it right back to you and just say, well, first of all, everyone, please go follow Magnus. It's incredibly worth your time. Obviously, how I talk about it, and I will post everything in all the links and everything, so people can go follow you. It's like I said, it's well worth your time if you're listening to this or you're watching. I'll leave with this. I'll say, you know, I told my parents and I when I met you, there's kindred spirits or whatever you want to think, and you meet people at the right time in your life. You've said this many times about universe has great timing, and I really appreciate you. I think this is, you know, the first of many conversations that we'll hopefully have moving forward. And I really appreciate you. I feel really hopeful and really inspired. That I did want to say this too. I didn't get to sneak this in, but I will end with this. I think that social media sometimes has a bad reputation, and sometimes, a lot of the times, deservedly so. It can be a tool for really negative, evil things. But in examples like this, you know, meeting someone from thousands of miles across the world and being to the point where you get to meet each other, even if it is virtually right now. And I think social media can be a really beautiful thing if it's used through genuine, authentic, you know, loving ways. So I'm really, really excited and inspired for this to get out to people. And, thank you so much, Magnus.
Thank you, mate. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate you. Thanks for having me. And I'm just saying hello to everyone in the United States. On the United States, listen to this. Great country. I was there not long ago. I was there 2 weeks ago. So I wish I had the time to interview some people over there and just, you know, pick their brains a bit and see the cultural differences. But I'll definitely be in the US again. So we'll do it.
Hey, likewise. I got to, you know, I got to shout out the UK. Shout out to Leeds United, best hit in the Premier League and a super fun team to watch. So, like I said, I think this is the start of a friendship, and you never know how life is going to go. So.